Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Three man weave today. We got Tyler Rocky in the building. We got Jack McGrath, AI Jack, in the building. Got a lot to get into on today's show, boys. Surprisingly, for a Bears offseason of the 6 weeks where usually there's nothing. I mean, we got top 100 players. I think this is an interesting list. I don't know if it's positive for the Bears, but we got a couple of players in the top 100. We've got to look at the wide receiving core rankings from PFF, and they just dropped the running back rankings. All that and more on today's episode. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. How you feeling, boys?
Good. It seems like the list season is finally upon us.
A lot of lists.
OTAs are in the rear view now, so you get list after list after list, and then we hit training camp, and then we're ready to go.
Is list season worse than
no, dude.
Mock draft season?
List season's the greatest.
List season's not bad. I like it. List season.
I love list season. I love a good list.
I like the list when you got more Bears players on it. But the lists we've seen don't have very many Bears players on it. So I'm not too happy about that. But it's probably fair based on where they've been at it. Past couple of years.
Yeah, listen, I think the top 100 list is very interesting. We'll talk about that here in a sec. But first, we do got to tell you guys that we are brought to you by the Advantage Auto Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6 right off of I-80 94. All right, let's start with the top 100 list, boys, because I think this one is one where I almost expected to see a couple of names, maybe falsely hoping so, but I thought there were a couple more names that could have been on this list. Two Chicago Bears on the list. We've got Joe Tooney, who we traded for, so does that really count? Coming in at 55, he does play for the Bears, so that's fun. And then Jalen Johnson coming in, and remind me if I'm wrong, did he make the list last year?
So
wasn't that a storyline last year?
So I think that might have been the top 100 voted on by the NFL players. This is the CBS list that we're looking at right now. He made this list last year. I think he was actually a top 40 player on this list last year.
Dropping this year to 71. Let's start with the two players that are on the list. Joe Tooney being 55. I think that's fair, right? You give that a fair grade?
Yeah, you could even give him higher. He was the heart and soul of that Chiefs offensive line last year, which at points carried that offense because of the lack of receiving cores. Obviously, he worked with Patrick Mahomes for years and years and years, but he also adjusted and switched positions last year. He's naturally a guard, went out, played left tackle to help that team. The team voted him the team MVP. Yeah, I think that's a fair ranking. I think he could even be higher on the list. I'm not going to get upset about it, though. He's still a top 60 player, and it's really hard to judge, especially when you're in a good offensive line group, how much one guy truly means to it. On the Bears, he'll be the best player on the Bears. I think that's fair. So 100%, I can get behind that ranking.
Yeah, I think Tooney, if you looked at a lot of lists at the end of last season, a lot of them had him like top 30, top 40 player in the NFL.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking about, all right, who are the Bears that are on this list? I feel like some people, it skips their mind that Joe Tooney's on this list because he was acquired in the offseason. Yeah. And I think, yeah, you could make the case, like Jack said, that he should be higher on this list. Obviously, there's positional flexibility with him. Not that you want to use him as a left tackle, but he can if you're desperate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, everything about Joe Tooney, it kind of makes sense why he is where he is on this list.
What was interesting to me when I looked at it was the fact that Jared Verse, right above him, we talking Joe Tooney, less impactful player than Jared Verse when one of those went to the Super Bowl. These lists are always interesting because, like, Joe Tooney, I see Jonathan Taylor above him. There shouldn't be a single running back above Joe Tooney outside of Saquon Barkley.
If you were to ask any GM in the NFL, one for one on one-year contracts, who would you rather have, Joe Tooney or Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
I think 32 out of 32 would rather have Joe Tooney at this point in their careers. Now, long-term, maybe because Jonathan Taylor's a little bit younger, but running backs don't age as well. Maybe you can make the case for Jonathan Taylor, but right now everybody would rather have Joe Tooney rather than Jared Verse or Jonathan Taylor for next season alone. Yeah. I would think.
Yeah, I think him being here, like you mentioned it, Tyler, that he's probably going to be the Bears' best player this season. He's the guy you can count on the most. He's been nothing but an absolute warrior when it comes to health out there. Like, oddly enough, I think that when you look at Joe Tooney, not only is he going to be one of the best players for the Bears, he's going to be one of the best players in football yet again, more than
likely. Yeah, no doubt about that. And especially now that you're putting him into a cohesive unit. Now, the one thing is, I wonder what this is going to look like early on. Growing pains of a new offensive line. Yep. You've got pretty much overhaul at least three, potentially four of the five positions along the offensive line. And these are guys that haven't played with each other, really. So I wonder, the only guys who may have played with each other before are on opposite ends of the line.
Yeah.
It's not like an I can tap you here and we can like communicate that way. No, it's like Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones, they're on separate ends of the lines. So bringing in this group, there may be growing pains early on, but I think once we get to like week 8, week 9, this should be one of the better offensive lines in all of football.
And Joe Tooney's a veteran enough where I trust that he'll be able to make those adjustments. I mean, the Chiefs have had their fair share of offensive line switches. Yeah. I just go back to a few years ago after they lost to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. They completely remodeled that offensive line, and Joe Tooney came in with a different group that year. So because of that, I think Joe Tooney should be able to adjust pretty well. I do think there'll be growing pains like you do, but I think if there's anybody equipped to be able to handle those growing pains, it's Joe Tooney.
Yeah, I think most of our confidence is that Tooney's going to be fine. The growing pains probably come from the other guys on the offensive line. Is it going to be Braxton? Is it going to be Ozzie Trapillo? You know, what does Jonah Jackson look like at the right guard position? I think that's where more of our growing pains probably in our mind come from. Joe Tooney's the one guy that I'm just like, he's going to go out there, he's going to play football well, and we're not going to have to worry about him. That's a good feeling. Another guy on this list that we can feel that good about, though, Jalen Johnson. I mean, I think this is going to be his best football season that we've seen of Jalen Johnson. The first time in his career, he's going to be able to follow the number one wide receiver around. Literally, anytime you would see a receiver get off, it would be on the second guy, whether it's Terrell Smith or Tyreek Stevenson. And you just go, why do we not have Jalen on Justin Jefferson right now? Or why do we not have Jalen on Devontae Adams right now? Jalen Johnson coming in at 71 on this list. I get it, DBs get a little bit less love in these lists when they start to come out. But 71 felt a little low even for me. Tyler, what were your thoughts?
Well, if we're just basing off of last season, like, there was a little bit of a quit factor with the defense as a whole last year, and I think Jalen Johnson is no exception to that. How many times did we see business decisions get made? Mm. I think back to that San Francisco game time and time again across the board, and I think this is just a reflection of that. It wasn't necessarily that he was a bad player last year. He's obviously a good player if he's in a top 100 in all the NFL lists, but I think that I'm with you. I think he bounces back. Dennis Allen will be really good for him. And overall, like, he is your best player on the defensive side of the football, and you're going to need him to play like your best player, because in a league that is becoming more and more, like, there's a bigger focus on the wide receiver in the passing game, having a guy like that, it's why you can never have too many DBs. It's kind of like the way that we think about pass rushers and offensive linemen. You can never have enough. I think you're starting to get to that point with defensive backs, too.
No, I'm telling you, I keep going. Whoever the DB guy is, we need to interview this dude. I trust him with my life. Like, I would let him watch my kids. I would, like, this guy gets it right every single time. Jack, your thoughts on Jalen Johnson being this low on the list?
The Bears put a lot of trust in that secondary group, as you just said, Pat, because they didn't really bring anybody new into this. So yep. Jalen Johnson has to continue to step up and be a top 15 cornerback in the entire NFL. If the Bears defense wants to reach its potential, Johnson has to be a top 50 player in the NFL. So I expect him to make that jump, but he also needs to make that jump, or else this Bears defense could look like how it kind of looked like at the end of last season, where it wasn't too great. Beginning of last season, looked dominant. End of last season, didn't look so good. Let's see what we saw at the first half of last season.
Jalen's dropped that far for you? You got to use top 15 for him?
He's at least top 15. He's the top 10 cornerback.
Oh, okay, I got it. I was like, wait a minute, Jack. Like, he's dropped that far to be top 15?
No.
Like,
to me, easy top 15.
I'll be honest with you. Are there five better corners in the NFL than Jalen Johnson?
Probably not, no.
I truly think he is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I think he's probably the best pass breakup guy in the league.
Well, the thing, too, is, like, corner is such a, I mean, you can see it go up and down, too. Like, Sauce Gardner, people thought was the best corner in football at the end of the season before this last one. And now this year, he's taken a significant step back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's he's been jets, to, he likes golf a little
he's
too much
jets.
Or what, but, like, all of this, like, it's a very...
Is that the new Bears gonna Bears? He's been jets?
He's been jets, yeah.
I like that.
I would say more players have been jets than Bears.
I don't know, dog. That's... Now, there's a podcast for you. Have more players been jets than Bears? You know what I'll say? I think the Jets have more players that leave that all of a sudden are really good again. Okay. Like Devontae Adams was not a great Jet in his few weeks there.
Yeah.
It was kind of like very forgettable. I think he's about to have one of the best seasons of his career with Matthew Stafford.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think there's many players that we can say that about that have left the Bears. Alshon Jeffrey's kind of on that list. Brandon Marshall got worked. Well, Monty. well, there is Monty, I guess.
But is that Monty or is that the offensive line?
Now we'll find out this season. That offensive line is going to be very different this season. We talked about the two guys that are on the list this year. Let us know your thoughts on where you guys feel like guys should rank out here in the comments below. Let me ask y'all this. Is there anybody on the team that didn't make the list that you feel like should have made the list? A ton of wide receivers on this team. I mean, Tyreek Stevenson probably didn't have a prayer at making this list after the Washington game. But, like, is there anybody you looked at and you were like, there's no way he shouldn't be on this top 100?
I don't think he should have made the list just because of the position that he plays. But to me, like, Kyler Gordon is a really good football player. Yep. Might be the best nickel corner in the entire league.
I agree.
That may not get you on a top 100 list just because it is a third corner on the field, but kind of like what we've been saying about defensive backs, they are becoming more and more important, and he's been paid accordingly too. I think there's a case to put Kyler Gordon on a list like this.
Yeah, I'm with that too. The people are going to say that DJ Moore should be on this list.
Mm.
I don't think DJ Moore should be on this list.
If we're basing it just on last year.
Basing it just on last year, DJ Moore did not perform as a high-level receiver last season. He was good, but he wasn't a top 100 player last season. So that's why I'd leave DJ Moore off this list. I think Kyler Gordon has a shout. I don't think there's a single other Bears player that I put on this list at this point.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's players that could jump to that level this season, but as of what we saw last year and going into this year, I don't think there's a single guy we can put that was left off.
And the one thing I was trying to see here real quick, I also think they did a good job. CBS did a good job with this list. I don't think there are guys who were banged up last year who missed a ton of time, because the one guy I would say is Jaquan Brisker. I think Jaquan Brisker is one of the best safeties in football. I think when he's on the field, the difference that is made, people always want to point to Andrew Billings as the problem in that Bears run defense last year and where the struggles came in. I think it's Jaquan Brisker. I think not having him on the field completely changed what the defense was. That would be the only player I'd put on here, but the injury concerns are very high. If he can have a healthy season, I think he's one of those top 50 guys on this list next year.
Yeah, and the best ability is availability. You 100%. Need to have Jaquan Brisker on the field, and if he's not on the field, it's difficult to justify putting him on the list. I agree. I think he could jump there. I think Roma Dunze could jump on this list as well out of the receiving corps. If he establishes himself as Caleb Williams' top target, then I think that Roma Dunze could jump on that list. And if Roma Dunze jumps on that list, I think that also probably means that Caleb Williams has jumped to the list, because he's probably going to throw for over 3,900 receiving yards, maybe touch those 4,000 receiving yards. And if he hits that 4,000 receiving yards, that probably means Roma Dunze has 1,000 receiving yards, jumps on that list. If Roma Dunze has 1,000 receiving yards, you're probably putting Caleb Williams on that list too.
Here's what I'll ask you, Tyler. Does Roma Dunze have to be on this list?
I was actually going to say, I was going to take it one step further, Jack. I do think he has to be on this list next year. This is a guy that you invested a top 10 pick in last year. And wide receiver was not number one on your list of needs.
You passed on Jared Verse, who is 54 on this list.
Like, Roma Dunze, and I believe in Roma Dunze. I think he's a very good player. I think 100%. He's going to be a very good player in this league. And wide receiver, it's one of those flashy positions. There's numbers attached to it, fantasy football, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if he has a good season, he will be on this list. Just the nature of the position he plays, the market he's in, the amount of prime time that you're going to see the Bears this year, too. I look at Roma Dunze. He has to be on this list next year. You've invested way too much. I'm not saying it was a risky pick taking him, but it was a bit of a glamorous pick at 9 last year, a luxury pick.
Especially when the need still remains.
Exactly.
You didn't, maybe you did with Dio, but Jared Verse was the defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
You chose Rome over Jared. And I agree with you. I think Rome can be amazing this season. I think that he is going to have a breakout year. Here's the question I'll ask both of you, though. When you look at this situation with where the Bears receivers are, we know how a season can go where it's like, maybe he didn't achieve what we thought he would achieve. If it is DJ Moore, if it is Roma Dunze, let's say DJ Moore makes this list and Rome is still the number two. Do you still feel good about the Rome pick?
It depends how he looks.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. A lot of this list, what's going to go into this list is going to be stats, right? And if DJ Moore has 1,200 yards and Roma Dunze has 800 yards, then DJ Moore's going to get on this list and Roma Dunze's not. But how do those 800 yards look? Is Roma Dunze going up and catching touchdowns? Is he making the big play? Is he getting open consistently? If you can say he's doing all of those things, then it's a good pick for me. Is he a go-to option on third down and maybe some of these fourth downs that we know Ben Johnson is going to be aggressive in trying to go
100%.
Get? Can he be that guy? Because a lot of this list is going to be baked into stats. It's just not the stats for Roma Dunze. You need to see it with the eye test.
I guess a better question is, does Rome need to be the number one in your mind by the end of this year?
No, not necessarily. No. I don't think so. Because you still have DJ, and DJ's paid like a number one wide receiver.
It's true.
And so you've invested a lot in that position. What you've ideally invested is to give yourself two number one wide receivers at that position. Kind of how the Bengals look with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Not to that level, but still having two guys who can be number one wide receivers on a team. You have Roma Dunze and you have DJ Moore, and then you have your third wide receiver in Luther Burden. Like, that should be a complete group. You don't necessarily need one guy to stand above the rest. You need them to work all together. And I really don't care how that works, as long as it does work, you know?
Yeah, I don't think he has to be the number one wide receiver, but I think you need to at least start to see the ships beginning to cross in the night. And not necessarily that DJ's getting worse, but more so that Rome is taking some sort of step moving forward. And you can see individual moments of brilliance where it's like, damn, that is number one wide receiver stuff. That is high pointing the football like a T. Higgins. That is making a play like Devontae Smith, where you're a number two, but you know that you could be a number one on a lot of teams.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how this receiving corps plays out this year. And I thought it was interesting to keep the show moving here. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. I thought it was interesting where, you know, on one list you get CBS basically saying you don't have a top 100 wide receiver or receiver at all on this team. On another list, you get PFF saying this is a top 10 receiving core in totality. I thought the PFF receiving list was very interesting. Just looking at the top 10, number one coming in, the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. No. Saquon
maybe
Barkley,
Cincy,
a dominant pass catcher out of the backfield, but maybe Cincy could be there as well. Number two, Tampa. I'm scratching my head a little bit.
Tampa makes sense a little. I mean, we really saw once Chris Godwin went down last year, Jalen McMillan, they drafted another guy this year too. Like, they've got depth, and they've got Mike Evans, and Mike Evans is just
he's
Mr. Consistent,
really man. Bengals coming in three. Was a little low for you with the Bengals?
I would put him above Tampa, but I think the depth of Tampa might be what puts him over the top there. I'm okay with them top.
Again, yeah, I don't know if I said this or not, but it is the in total receiving corps, running backs, tight ends, all included. Number four, Detroit, still top five on this list. That shock you at all with all the changes that happened there?
Not really. I mean, you lose the play caller, but I think you still have the pieces. You still have Laporta, Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams. You still have Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, it doesn't shock me that they're still there. Sure, you lose the play caller, and the numbers may go down as a result of that, but I don't know if they're factoring Ben Johnson into the group of players on the
field. And it's not necessarily the receivers there that put them over the top. It's Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs being top five pass catchers at their position. Gibbs might be the best pass catching running back in the entire NFL, and that puts them over the top.
Here's where Cap begins for me. San Francisco five. There's no way we're just counting that everyone's going to be healthy. Christian McCaffrey on that list. So, Brandon Ayuk, I love. You lose Deebo Samuel. Like, that literally is basically, Kittle, of course, is in there. But to me, that literally is like, we're going to ignore everything that actually has happened, and we're just going to give you numbers.
Christian McCaffrey was on the top 100 list from CBS as well, and that's just one.
I guess there's the one that I missed. Now Jaquan Brisker should have been on the list.
But, like, the guy barely played last season. When he did play, he looked slow. He didn't look fully recovered. I can't justify, at this point, putting San Francisco at the top tier of this list. Now, once again, the tight end's going to be what separates them. I guess you have to include McCaffrey as healthy, but I don't believe he's going to be the same guy that he's been in the past. I need to see it first. He had two major injuries last season, and he took forever to come back from both of them. In his four games that he played, he still wasn't even elite. So I can't justify San Francisco.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt, though, to guys like Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk, because there's pedigree there. And I get injury can factor into that, but It almost felt like at a certain point, San Francisco is sort of rushing CMC back a little bit.
Yeah.
So now that he has a full offseason to recover, get his body right. Again, it is kind of a do or die for him. If he does not perform this year, then you're really going to see the wheels start to come off of him, because then it'll be done for him. But I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt, because even like 80 to 85% of what Christian McCaffrey used to be is still better than probably 80% of the running backs in the NFL.
But here's what's tough for me. Are we not to the point now where the story on Christian McCaffrey is he's going to be hurt? Like, I feel like we've had one season of, oh my God, he's back, and he's the best running back in the NFL, and he got the bag off of it and was immediately hurt after. Like, I can't, in my mind, the Christian McCaffrey that we have gotten more times than not has been the one that's on the sideline.
From the Carolina days, yes, but it felt like when he got to San Francisco, it was like, oh, all of a sudden, he was magically healthy.
You know what I mean?
And then up until this last year, he had, a season and a half of being pretty healthy for San Francisco. Yeah. So, again, he's an aging running back who has just been paid, but these running backs, I mean, they need to go out there and play because those careers are very short. It is one of the shortest lifespans in the NFL is the running back position these days.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening there with San Fran. That's the one that I look at a little bit sideways. Minnesota coming in six. I mean, this is heavy Justin Jefferson, right? Like, good receiving core, but
I really liked Jordan Addison last season. Like Jordan Addison. Looked really good. And then you also have the tight end there still. Hockenson's there still, too, right? So it's once again, you add up all the different factors. And, like, Aaron Jones can catch the ball.
Yeah.
He's not, like, your premier pass catcher, but he can catch the ball. So I'm okay with Minnesota there. I think there's a good debate between Minnesota and Chicago in terms of who ranks where. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think Minnesota could get up there because of Hockenson and because of Aaron Jones.
Yeah. Tyler, what's Miami at this point? Miami coming in seven. Well, I mean, Jaylen Waddle is still amazing. Tyreek is still really, really good.
But
is he?
It's kind of that.
No, he's solid. Well, he's quick, but he's lost a step.
I don't know if he's lost a step. I think a lot of it had to do with Tua last year. And again, it's one of those things. I know there was the whole thing at the end of the year, is Tyreek going to be a Dolphin? I think the best thing for Tyreek Hill would be to move on from the Dolphins.
Because I think he tried to, and nobody wanted it.
But, like, I think Tyreek Hill, you put him with another quarterback, and he could look like the Tyreek Hill of old.
A guy who relies on his speed, over 30, who doesn't have overpowering size, I just don't trust it as it ages, especially a guy who dealt with some injuries and got off to a slow start last season.
I don't think
his
speed's down.
Not yet, but it will
it
be.
It could be eventually.
It could be.
That's not this year, though. This season.
We're talking about 2025, not 2028, and I think in 2025, Tyreek Hill still has the foot speed.
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Noah Lyles just back out of the race after seeing right. Tyreek run the 100, which would have been, I don't know if it would have been a world record. It would have been some record for the time that they had, but it wasn't an official timing. Last season, Tyreek, 121 targets, 81 receptions, 959 yards, 6 receiving touchdowns. That was only with, eight games of Tua, though, I think, last season?
Skylar Thompson and whoever else they had.
Yeah. It was not an easy season to be a receiver in Miami. I think the Miami one is interesting, though, because we're talking about the entire receiving core. Give me the Bears receiving core in totality, adding Luther Burden, adding Colston Loveland, DJ, Rome, all of these pieces over just Tyreek and Jalen.
Well, you've got Achan, too, in Miami. He's one of the better pass-catching backs. But I'm with you.
Jonnu Smith after that, though, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Like, well, yeah. I think he is one of the more underrated pass-catching tight ends, I think, in football. And who knows? He might not be a part of the mix. There's been rumors that they're trying to trade him to Pittsburgh, too. But I still would take the Bears' core over the Dolphins at this point, because I think that even though your 1-2 of receivers is heavy advantage Miami, I think that after that, when you look at 3, 4, 5, your other options on the offense there, I would take the Bears. And I just think the Bears are a deeper group at receiver. Now, some of that may be there's a lot of unprovens, right? Like, we haven't seen Luther Burden run an NFL route. We haven't seen Colston Loveland run an NFL 100%. Route. So some of it is baked into the potential of what it could be with those guys. But I think overall, I kind of like the Zacchaeus signing too for the Bears. I would not be surprised if he's one of the maybe unheralded players that makes a couple of key plays this year on third downs.
I've said this so much after going up to OTAs, after going to minicamp. Zacchaeus is going to compete for this slot position. Like, it is not Luther Burden's job to win. Mm-hmm.
And Luther Burden hasn't been practicing as much as Ben Johnson would have liked because of his soft tissue issues.
I think that Zacchaeus, and there's a relationship already that seems like it's forming there with Caleb. There was a lot of times where Caleb was going to him on the check down. Zacchaeus got himself back into the mix last year with Washington and had a 500-plus yard season. Like, I think that Olamide Zacchaeus is going to be one of those players that Luther Burden is going to have to be really, really freaking good for him to take his spot.
Well, he better be though, because he was a second round pick, right? You put the eggs in that basket, not drafting another tackle, not drafting another defensive edge at that premier second round pick, expecting that Luther Burden is going to contribute. And I feel like to justify that pick, he needs to contribute almost immediately this season. Maybe you can give him a few weeks here and there, but I think you draft him with the expectation he is going to be your starting slot receiver this season. If he gets beaten out by Zacchaeus, I'm going to be a little weary of that draft pick. That being said, he's got obviously 4 years to figure it all out.
Yeah.
But I would hope Luther Burden's your starting slot wide receiver going in.
Yeah, we'll see. Number eight on this list, this has got to be the most disrespected team on this list, right? The Los Angeles Rams coming in. You got Puka Nacua. Mm-hmm. I understand you lost Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was the ghost of Cooper Kupp last year, pretty much. You added Davante Adams. I don't know if anybody heard that. You added Davante Adams to a team with Cooper Kupp. You've still got Tyler Higbee. You've still got some really good pass catchers out of that backfield on the team. Like, I thought the Rams would be much higher on this list.
I could see it. I don't know if I'm as big of a believer in Davante Adams now as you are. We didn't see I think he's going to be good. But I don't think he's going to be elite Davante Adams this season. He may put up the numbers because of Sean McVay's offensive system, and I think that helps him a lot. But I'm not going to put him top three with Cincinnati or anything like that. Maybe I'd move him above Miami, probably. That's about where I'd have him.
Right.
But with Davante Adams, you're looking at a guy who went with his best friend in Aaron Rodgers last season and still didn't put up elite numbers. I don't know that he's elite anymore. He's good. He's solid. He has good hands. He can win a route. He can win a jump ball. But I'm not going to view him as, you suddenly added this 1A top tier, top 10 wide receiver. I just don't think he's still there.
I don't know. I still see it with Davante Adams.
Slide over here real quick.
We got a little two-on-one here, man.
That's nuts. Like, Aiden O'Connell was his quarterback last year. We saw that, right?
Davante Adams, I think he could – he still had his moments last year where he reminded people, hey, this is still Davante Adams. He can still do this. I wouldn't be too worried, and I think going to play with Matt Stafford too, very similar to playing with Aaron Rodgers. I think you're talking about a guy who's just seen everything, and now he gets an elite-level wide receiver. I'm not saying he's a top five receiver in football, but I still think he has traits that are like top three in the league at the position.
I'm a big Davante guy. Unfortunately, seeing him here a ton against us has jaded me a lot, and he is the receiver version of how I felt about Tom Brady. What I mean by that is I didn't think Tom Brady couldn't do it until he didn't do it. Yeah. Davante Adams to me is I don't think he can't do it till he can't do it. Last year, Aiden O'Connell, he sat for two games because of the trade pretty much, right? Two or three games, and he still had 1,000 yards, 8 receiving touchdowns last year, and 85 receptions. I think in a full season, if he's healthy and just like it, talking about the ranking on this, with him on the field, what's that about to do to Puka?
Yeah.
Like, I think the league still fears Davante like that guy. It's either Davante is going to be back in a strong way and people are going to be looking at him a ton, and that's going to open things up for Puka, or they're going to be focused on Puka now because I would assume he's the number one there. Maybe.
I think
and that's
going to
make
1B.
Things easier for Davante.
They complement each other really well.
Yeah,
Puka's going to be still your underneath guy who they just continue to find 5 to 10 yards out and just continue to pepper him with receptions, and Davante Adams will be able to do everything else. So they do complement each other extremely well.
Then coming in number nine, ladies and gentlemen, your Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears rank 9 here. What it says, Bears ranked in the top 5 of my receiving rankings going into 2024, which proved to be too high for a unit that went on to rank 27th in PFF receiving grade. However, much of the team's struggles stemmed from the rookie quarterback and a bad offensive coaching staff. Thank you. Chicago retained its core receivers in DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and Cole Kmet, and added Colston Loveland and Luther Burden to the mix while parting ways with Keenan Allen. Boys, top 10 receiving core for the Chicago Bears. I think the real question is, do you agree?
I think if you look at it as a whole, yeah, I do. You add Colston Loveland, you add Luther Burden, you lose Keenan Allen. And I'm interested to see who turns into Caleb's favorite target this year, and I think that's where that step that we're thinking Rome could take comes in, is he starts to look at Roma Dunze as his go-to guy. Last year, towards the end of the year, Keenan Allen was the go-to guy on most routes. When you needed a big catch, Caleb immediately was looking at Keenan Allen. So the question for me is going to be who replaces him as Caleb's go-to guy. But you add Loveland in there, you still have Cole Kmet, you add Burden, and I think the backfield, you don't have any elite pass catchers, but DeAndre Swift can still get job done. Yeah. So because of that, I would say, yeah, I think it's a justified ranking for the Bears. You add it on to this receiving core. Once again, a receiving core that, as many issues as there were with the offense last season, the receiving core wasn't the biggest disappointment for me. They still have the talent there to get things done.
I think 9 is kind of perfect for where they're at, and I don't think this is a ranking that is based on a singular player like we see some of these teams. This is just the sum of the parts. It is depth-driven, and I think when you're talking about a group where you've got like one truly proven commodity that's a good player out of this group, that being DJ Moore, but like there is potential with Rome, there is potential with Loveland, there's potential with Kmet, there's potential with Burden. I just think it's one of those rankings where you've got a number of guys who, no superstars, but it's just a lot of really solid players who have potentials to be really good players in the league. And to me, we're not calling them a top 5 unit. We're calling them the 9th. And I think when you're going with a depth-driven unit, 9 feels like the perfect spot for them.
Is there somebody on this list to speak to that point that you felt should have been below them?
Miami would be the only team that I think was overranked in this list, and that's because I think Tyreek Hill isn't what he once was, but you guys still think he's there. But
some interesting wide receiver stances for you today, Jack.
I guess I just don't like the old guys. I see them fading off quicker than you guys do. I know.
You got a little ageism going on over here.
But that's where I come in on that. I think Miami, but once again, they had their quarterback issues last year. Same as the Bears did. Yep. Different reasons, but same as the Bears did. They struggled because of quarterback issues last season. That's the only team I would have above them. Otherwise, I think it's almost a perfect ranking for the Bears.
Yeah, I think like I can get behind putting them ahead of Miami, but there's no denying Miami's 1-2 is better than the Bears' 1-2.
That is true.
Like, there are two stars in their receiving room. You can't say that about
the
Chicago
Bears. We
don't have
a Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Well,
Jalen Waddle would be number one in the Bears receiver room.
We don't have a player that showed that last year. I'll say that. And what I mean by that is I think that DJ Moore can be one of those top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. I think when you put the ball in his hands, he's a monster. The problem is the ball wasn't put in his hands enough. We went into week 4 of the season, I think, before DJ Moore got 10 targets in a game.
Yeah.
Like, that can't happen again this season. That's where I think the difference is. There was no question going into every Mike McDaniel's game plan that Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill were going to get the football probably more than 10 times. Like, that's where I think the biggest difference is going to be where this offense gets unlocked is some of the stuff's just common sense. Hey, throw the football to your best wide receiver on the field. Maybe throw it to that tall guy that keeps catching the football. Like, that's what we didn't see enough of last season. Let us know how you guys feel about the ranking. Houston came in at 10 to round out the top 10. Houston's interesting at 10.
A lot of draft picks.
A lot of draft picks. A lot of love for the draft pick. That one feels like, I feel like everybody else on the list was kind of purely based off of the receiving core. That one feels like we know CJ Stroud's going to turn somebody into a player.
Well, and you got Nico Collins, too.
He's one of the
5-7 best receivers in football now.
Yeah, Nico Collins a dog. Let's finish it out with this because I thought this was interesting. We cannot go through all of the teams ahead of the Bears in this standing because we are going to do the – they also dropped PFF, the running back group ranking, the top-ranked running back group. And I'll tell you what, the Bears are not high. If we went through all of these teams, people would be late for their actual shows. The Chicago Bears come in on this list 30th. And I think it is very... Right now, when you look at the running back room, I think this is an accurate ranking. I do feel really good about Kyle Manunga. I think he's going to be better than most people think. I think having Eric Bieniemy in this room will change things. But where the Bears are at right now, 30th on the list feels kind of where they are. And does that go back to kind of looking at Ryan Poles sideways, Jack, and saying, you really didn't add anything but Kyle Manunga to this team?
Well, surprising. He's a 7th-round draft pick, and that's all they added in the running back room this offseason, a room that we all thought sitting here they probably needed to address more heavily in the offseason. They didn't sign anybody. J.K. Dobbins and Nick Chubb are already off the table. It's not like they're going to go get another veteran at this point that's not just an auxiliary piece. You're not adding another starting running back at this point. It is a little bit surprising. DeAndre Swift underperformed last season. Let's see what Ben Johnson can unlock with DeAndre Swift. He had the opportunity once before. Let's see if he's able to do it this year. Kyle Manunga is a guy we like, but it's hard to rank him very high as a 7th-round running back that we haven't seen play an NFL snap yet.
Yeah.
Like, he looks good in training camp. And that gives us hope that
he also looked good in college.
And he looked good in college. But
he was also pretty good in college.
He was, but he wasn't good, better than 20 other running backs, and that's the reason he fell to the 7th round, right? Or at least that's what the NFL evaluators are telling us.
I think the reason he fell to the 7th round is pretty obvious. He's 5'9". Like, if we're being honest about Kyle Manunga, he did just about everything that Ashton Jeanty did, but Ashton Jeanty ran for 2,000 yards. But it literally was, they're going to stack 8 in the box. We don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
We are Rutgers. We don't have a quarterback. We're not throwing the football. We're going to turn this football around. We're going to hand it to you, and you make the most of it. I feel like he did that. I think that's why he ended up falling. But I do agree with you. You can't rank something you can't see, and it's very tough on these lists where you go, Kyle Manunga may be the dude, but even so, is DeAndre Swift, is Roschon Johnson?
Well, I've effectively closed the book on Roschon Johnson production.
Oh, you're done with Roschon.
I mean, what's he shown?
A lot of injuries.
Injuries, okay.
Injuries.
But that's running back. That's one of the last.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, that's what he's shown. A lot of injuries.
Like, he's had some production from the 1 yard line, punching in touchdowns from there. But outside of that, like, there's no like breakaway speed that you're seeing out of Roschon Johnson. To me, the only way that this ranking gets higher next season is if Kyle Manunga is a dude.
We saw a lot of pieces change. And listen, I've been very hard on DeAndre Swift on this show. There is no question about it. I do think that you have to look at his time in Philly and say, looks very similar. I get it. The offensive line was worse here, but looks very similar. But does the offensive line improvements change who DeAndre Swift is, along with being back with Ben Johnson, where he did have some of his best yardage between the tackles, 6.5 yards per carry in Detroit in 2022, limited carries. And he also has now Eric Bieniemy in the building with him as well.
It should. If it doesn't, then it's probably his last year with the Chicago Bears, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, the whole thing with DeAndre Swift, I wasn't all in on the signing at the time. He's a fine player.
I was out.
He's a fine player, but it's not the way that I would want to build my football team. If I'm going to pay for a running back, I'm looking for a top-tier guy like a Josh Jacobs, like a Saquon Barkley, someone in that neighborhood. I'm not looking at a DeAndre Swift.
He has to be, as Tyler said. Yeah. He has to be good next season. He has to be able to put his head down and run between the tackles, which is something we really didn't see last year, if he wants to be your starting running back and your main guy. I don't think the Bears are going to have a bell cow this year. I think it's going to be a group effort with Manunga, with Swift, and maybe Johnson, or maybe
Ian Wheeler. Ian Wheeler, I saw it.
I think there's going to be a group approach to this thing. Maybe Swift will stick out and start to look better than he did last year, but right now I think it's hard to definitively say DeAndre Swift is going to be the bell cow because we haven't seen him except for that year in Detroit with Ben Johnson where he's been able to put his head down and run between the tackles.
Well, I think
if he's able to do that, then I think maybe he jumps ahead and the Bears running back room looks a lot better.
The other thing with DeAndre Swift, too, stop running into dudes.
Yeah.
Like, he's at times, it's almost like he tries to be a power back and he's trying to initiate contact when he's got open space and he's a guy who's good in space. He can make you miss, but he's not going to run through you. And I think part of like what to maximize the potential of DeAndre Swift is he has to understand who he is as a back. You're not a power guy.
I think what's interesting about that, though, is you saw him with, again, Ben Johnson, very limited time. There were times where you literally were watching, and I went back and watched some of those Detroit games because holiday weekend I had nothing to do. And I was like, you literally didn't give him the football in DeAndre Swift moments. You were giving it to Jamal Williams. Like, yeah. Jamal Williams is not a pass-catching back. Mm-hmm. We're throwing screen passes to Jamal Williams. That is DeAndre Swift time. So I do wonder if that's going to play into this. But in that time, DeAndre Swift was much better in between the tackles. Like I said, 6.5 yards than he has been in any time outside the tackle. So I asked J-Mac this, too, on the pod. Like, I wonder if we're trying to turn him into something because of his size, because of his speed to the outside, where we're like, you're not a guy in the middle. But his yards actually have proven that he's a better player in the middle. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. Eric Bieniemy wants him to get that 4.5 yards in the middle. I know that much. We'll see what this running back room looks like. We'll finish it out with this, boys. If it kind of does stay 30th, it's going to make things difficult on this offense. A lot of Ben Johnson's offense has been predicated off of the run. Do the Bears make a trade this season for somebody who usually becomes available midseason? We usually see running backs on the market.
Yeah, and you can usually do that for like a 7th rounder, 6th rounder, because it's usually a running back that's kind of worn out his time. Except the exception was McCaffrey a couple of years ago. Yeah. But generally you see like some veteran who's on a team that's not winning, or maybe some rookie's taking over, where you can kind of dole out a 6th or 7th round pick. If that's really a need for the Chicago Bears and it doesn't look better behind this offensive line, I would jump at the opportunity if it truly means improvement in the running back room. Now, is that going to be open? Maybe, maybe not. But if it is and you can get it for low cost, I'm not giving up 1st round picks for running backs or 2nd round picks like the trade for McCaffrey. But if you can add one more vet to this room, I'd be willing to give a 7th or a 6th or something like that.
James Cook got beef, Tyler. Yeah, James Cook and the Bills got beef.
James Cook, but Buffalo's probably going to try to at least ride that out for this season. The one that I could see getting moved is Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, that has been a conversation as well. I've seen a couple of people point to Kenneth Walker as maybe the best option. Is that a better option for the Bears than what they have in the building, though? It would be my question there.
I think, yeah. I think significantly, especially like between the tackles and stuff like that, red zone. He's a 3-down back that you can rely on pretty heavily. So I would say that would be a name. I know Breece Hall gets floated out there too, but
I don't get the hate from the Jets on Breece Hall.
I think the thing is they have a good running back room there. Yeah. They have Isaiah Davis, Braylon Allen. They drafted really solid pieces in that running back room. And Breece Hall last season, he looked good, but at times it looked like, oh, maybe Allen might be the better guy in this running back room kind of thing. Now, Breece Hall is a very good running back, and I also think the reason Breece Hall is the one who gets all the trade talk is because he's the biggest name, and so you would get the most value for him, where the other guys are more value backs. You might not get as much back, but still could get similar production.
Yeah, it is weird, though. There's a gap there. Like, I get it if it's like everyone's close, right? Like, our running back room here. I don't think that you're sitting there going, oh, there's this massive gap. There's a gap between Breece Hall and the next best guy in that room. I probably wouldn't be moving off of Breece Hall, but the Jets may, and that'll be an interesting conversation to see. I'm never in the business of giving up high capital for running backs. Nope. I think that we're probably going to get into this season, if the blocking is good, if the passing game is good, Kyle Manunga is probably going to be your lead back, and he's probably going to be pretty good this season. But we'll see what ends up happening. Boys, appreciate you joining the show today, man.
Anytime, Pap.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate y'all coming through. Make sure y'all support Tyler and Jack with everything they got going on, man. A lot of different shows that you guys are on, so stay tapped in with them. And stay tapped in with us here at the Chicago Bears Podcast. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Big Red Diamonds, one love. Peace.